on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? We are into the month of April. That means we are in the home stretch of the second semester of the year, which means we are going to be flying through the rest of Coyote Athletics here as we get into through the month of April and into the month of May. Spring football going on right now. Obviously, we've got women's basketball just wrapping up their season, and then you're into all the spring sports right now. So lots of things still to follow if you're into it, and softball have a few home games remaining in their schedule, and hopefully they can make it into the conference tournament. We'll see how that goes. And then, of course, track and field, they'll be competing in the conference tournament in about mid-May as well. So lots of things going on right now in Coyote Athletics. This week, I had a great chance to catch up with Marlene Mula. She, of course, is a tremendous pole vaulter at the University of South Dakota, has had a tremendous career. She just went and competed at the World. She's the current record holder after this this previous indoor season of the indoor pole vault at USD. She's just been incredible in her career, and we had a great chance to catch up this week, talk about her career, and also a football conversation. The newest coach to the coaching staff, Byron Robinson Jr. He is the cornerback's coach, and we talked about his coaching journey that eventually led him to South Dakota. Let's start it this week with Marlene Mula, the senior pole vaulter from Estonia. Marlene, you're set to transition into the outdoor season. What's this time like right now when you get done with the indoor season and you're getting ready for outdoor and the weather's not really telling us it's outdoor season? What's that transition like for you?
It's kind of like a slow period right now, I would say, because I'm coming off the indoor season. I can take a few weeks to kind of get some harder training in and then start, like, getting used to a little, like, a little wind, a little colder weather, because right now in South Dakota we don't have, like, super sunny days and 88 degrees. So yeah, it's fun time. I like it.
When you transition from indoor to outdoor, there's not a lot of time in between. Do you have to take some time to reset mentally? It's a track season feels like a long season.
Yeah, I took a week after the indoor season just to kind of mentally kind of reset everything and just kind of start all over again. That's why we're kind of like lifting a little bit heavier, just to kind of, I don't know, remind my body that actually gotta put the hard work into that too. So yeah.
Recently, you went to Poland and competed in the Worlds and competing for Estonia. Describe that experience. It's a long ways. It's a lot of travel, but I know it means a lot to you to put on the Estonia uniform.
Yeah, no, it's always such an honor to put the Estonian uniform on and go represent my country. And yeah, the travel was tough, but it was all worth it. My family came down to see me there, and it was just so awesome having my family in the stands while I'm, like, competing, because I don't get here in the States, so it's always, like, so much more special, and it kind of overweighs all the results that I'm, like, achieving on the field there. So yeah.
How different is a competition like that in the Worlds versus your regular competitions throughout the college season?
I feel like there's a... For me, I'm trying to think that there's no difference, but definitely there's a little more pressure. I'm putting on the Estonian uniform, like, Estonia, like, back home, all the friends are watching, or my family are in the stands, or my family is in the stands. I guess that's the correct way, but yeah, I feel like there's definitely like a little bit more pressure, and I think it's gonna just take a little time to get used to it. So that's why we're going out there, and I'm putting my name out there and going and competing against all those other girls just to get the experience and yeah.
How special is it to have your family in the stands for something like that when you said, you know, they can't obviously come over to the States a lot and watch you, but to be there in person, I know they follow you and what you're doing, but to be there in person, what'd that mean to you?
No, that meant everything. They came in, I think they were the first people in there. They were kind of like yelling, like waving me down, and oh my God, it's just like put the like biggest smile on my face, just seeing them there. And yeah, that means literally everything to me. They made me, like, I walked over there and they made me cry, just like happy tears. So yeah.
How tough are some of those competitions when you have the travel involved and then you got to try to shake off the long travel and get yourself back into an athlete mindset? Does that play a factor into it?
No, for sure. And I think I'm still kind of getting used to it because I haven't done a lot of overseas traveling and then competing right after. So I think it's going to take a little bit to kind of nail down the kind of game plan, what I need to do to get myself ready. Because for Poland, the day before the meet, I felt like super fired up and super ready to go. But then the meet day came around and I was kind of gassed and not as ready. So it definitely needs more practice, I guess.
You go through the indoor season and you and Anna both jumped over 15 feet at Arkansas at the Tyson Invitational. The first time we'd ever had an indoor pole vaulter for women go over 15 feet. What was that like? She won the competition. You were right there with her. But you both set what at the time was the school record.
Yeah.
What was that like to have two from the same school to clear a bar that high?
No, it's just a great feeling, I would say. Because with Anna, it's always so much fun to like jump and compete against her. Because I feel like we push each other. Like I saw her going over 460 and I was like, oh my God, I got to do that now too. And I think it's just like awesome that we have like two great vaulters going like that high. And for me too, it's just, I think, kind of pushes me to go higher and jump more. So,
but you know your career at USD is winding down, so a week later you thought, I got to get that solo record myself. You did so at Nebraska. What was that like to clear that bar a week after, you know, getting over 15 to go even higher? What was that whole week to 2 weeks like?
It was interesting because I did not expect that at all. I was like a little banged up from Arkansas still, like traveling there 8 hours, traveling back 8 hours. I was kind of questioning if I should go and compete at Nebraska or not. But I went there and I kind of, before going there, I wrote down in my journal that I'm going to jump like higher. I'm going to get the record to my own name. And I guess I did that. So
you spoke it into existence.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like talking or like putting the positive energy out there really kind of helps me. So, yeah.
Obviously, you've got the outdoor season to go.
Yeah.
You look back now, like, how would you describe your time at USD and your experience with pole vault?
It's so hard to describe because it's been just awesome. And I remember, like, back 5 years ago, I didn't want to come to the States. And now I'm just, like, thinking, like, how, like, naive I was. And just, like, this experience has been, like, just life-changing, I would say. Just being part of the team and having Derek as my coach and all that. So it's just, I have nothing but positive things to say about it. So, yeah.
I don't know how many people know this. They've seen your name, obviously, a lot because you've had a lot of success in pole vault. But I don't know how many people know you've kind of dabbled in working behind the scenes with a video and marketing group. How would you describe what you've done this year, like during basketball season and some of that?
I just love it because my major is graphic design and I've been doing that for now 4 years, and at some point I realized that the static image is not as fun for me, so I kind of reached out to Jared and asked for like some opportunities because Jen before me kind of worked for athletics and all that, did some graphics and all that, so I kind of wanted to get into that too. So yeah, I reached out and he offered me to kind of do video for athletics, and I've been just loving it. Just, I don't know, seeing other sports and how they kind of practice and train, it's just kind of like kind of eye-opening too, to see what other people do out of like outside of track. So yeah, I really like it.
What's the coolest thing you've made so far in the videos?
I don't even know. I think it's like every video I make, I kind of try to put 100% into it. And every time I make something, I kind of like look back and I'm like, oh, that looks pretty good. But then I make something else and I'm like, oh my God, that looks even better. So I feel like I learn as I go, because I don't have like ton of experience like with Adobe. What is it called then? Adobe Premiere Pro. So yeah, I feel like I'm kind of learning as I go, and I just love it.
Do you have a lot of pride when you see the video you make, either make it to the video board or out on social media? Do you have a little pride in that, or do you wish your name was on that stuff?
Yeah, definitely I have some pride in it. I post that in my story and like kind of share it with others too. But I don't need my name under there, I think. It's just, I think the South Dakota kind of, that's what I kind of present too. So yeah.
What's the goal for the outdoor season now as you transition into it?
Just go higher. That's, I feel like, stay healthy and go higher. And like, most importantly, I feel like have fun with it. So
outdoor, a lot of times there's more elements to deal with.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you like outdoor or indoor more?
That's a hard question. I feel like I like indoor more because I don't have to think as much. I don't have to think about the wind and all that. But at the same time, if we do go outdoor and we have those great conditions, sunny weather, tailwind, all that, then it's always better than indoor. So yeah.
Always with the tailwind. Things are a lot better. You mentioned 5 years ago you didn't want to come to the States, and you've had a great experience. What would be your message to another international student who's maybe thinking about the opportunity and you know, whether or not they want to go to the States to pursue college athletics the way you have?
I would say that give it a shot, because that's kind of the mindset I had. I took a cap year and then I was just thinking, I can always go back home. If I don't like it, I can always go back home. I have some like safe space there where I can always go back to. So yeah, I was thinking that maybe if I don't go and I'm going to be 50 and I'm going to regret it. So I didn't take that opportunity to go to the States and just get the experience, see the world, all that. So I think it's 100% worth it. And if it doesn't work out, you can always go back home.
I know you're focused on the outdoor season, but what might be next for you? Are you going to move back home and explore opportunities? Are we going to try to extend this pole vault career? Kind of where's your mindset right now?
I'll definitely try to extend it, and I'm working hard right now to kind of make everything work and stay here and still have Derek as my coach. So I just love it here, and I think that's the best kind of for my athletic career. So I'll try my best to take the kind of most out of it, and then yeah, see what next year brings.
You got Olympics plans in the future, maybe?
Yeah, for sure. I'll try my best to do that. Yeah,
that'd be awesome. I know a lot of people would love to see it and continue to cheer you on. Thanks for the time, really appreciate it. Have a good outdoor season.
Thank you.
That is Marlene Mula. She is a senior pole vaulter from Estonia. Tremendous, and hopefully she'll get an opportunity to continue that pole vault career. Would love to see her at some point get the opportunity to go and compete at the Olympics. I think that would be really, really cool for so many people. It'd be great to see it for us here to see her after she came through USD. We've seen it before. Chris Nielsen, of course, the coach, Derek Miles. But love to see that continue. We've always had tremendous pole vaulters at USD. Also had a chance this week to catch up with Byron Robinson Jr. He's been on staff here for a couple of weeks and, of course, going through the spring ball right now with the Coyotes. He's going to coach the cornerbacks. We talked about his playing career that began at Kilgore College and his coaching career that's taken him through a couple of FBS schools and eventually right here to South Dakota.
Byron, welcome to South Dakota. You've been getting your feet under you a little bit here. What has the transition been like for you as you adapt to Coyote football?
To be honest, the transition has been real smooth. You know, just coming from Iowa State to South Dakota, it's only 3 hours away, and then just trying to get acclimated with the defense so I'm able to teach the kids what we're doing. And so far, it's also good that the kids got a year or 2 years under their belt to where, like, it's easy to teach them the scheme and what we're doing. So it's been pretty good.
You look back at your football journey. You started playing at Kilgore College and went on to Abilene Christian. How would you describe your football playing career?
I would describe it as I was an average player, right? I did what I had to do to get a scholarship, but I had to go the JUCO route, right? I knew I could play Division I football, but I didn't have those offers coming out of high school. So I was like, man, I'm going to just go junior college because it's kind of like another 2 years of high school. And so I went to Kilgore College for a couple of years, and I was able to get a scholarship to go to Abilene Christian, thankful enough that I didn't have to pay for school. But Abilene Christian helped me along the way to enter coaching with the connections that I had at Abilene Christian. So that's always good.
You know, in today's world of college football where, you know, every year season gets over, we don't know who's going to go where and who might come in, who's going to leave, things like that. How do you use your experience being a JUCO product that got the opportunity at Division I level? How do you use that maybe as you go forward in just the recruiting and building up a team and helping build things here?
I would say just staying level-headed because you never know what could happen, you know. And as you get into recruiting, I just use, like you said, the junior college journey, right? I didn't know what was going to happen after that. And so it's kind of the same thing in recruiting. You don't know. As long as you continue to build those relationships with the kids, you never know. Like, they could start off with bigger scholarship offers, but as long as you build that relationship, something could happen along the way to like, hey, I feel like I got a good enough relationship with the coach that I could trust myself going there to that school. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how it was for me at Kilgore. I trusted myself, trusted those coaches that, okay, they could get me to the next level.
You mentioned that you had coaching connections or connections to get into coaching after your college playing days. When did you know you wanted to get into coaching?
Well, to be honest, like, I knew, like, at Abilene Christian, right, I was a captain there at Abilene Christian. So I knew, like, okay, when you're a captain, you're the one being vocal, you're the vocal leader, basically coaching up the younger kids or the people that's underneath you. And so I just realized, like, dang, my talents is not good enough to go to the NFL. The next thing I wanted to do was coach, right, inspire kids and help kids grow as men on and off the field. And so just being able to get into coaching right away and go into Sioux Falls helped my career, to be honest.
You mentioned being a captain. I'm sure that was a great honor for you. Is that something that you not only carry with you as you go into coaching, but when guys get selected captains on a football team that you're coaching, do you emphasize how important that is?
Yes, I do. I think, like, being a captain can take you a long way. Even not even just football, just in life in general, right? When people see that as on your resume, they're like, oh, he was a captain, right? He was a leader some way, somehow, whether that was on a team or in the work industry, you know what I mean? And so just being able to emphasize, like, hey, being a vocal leader, leading by an example is something that you want to do in life, right? It takes you a long way. And so, yeah, I just try to emphasize that to the guys, just continue to be leading your own way. Everybody's a leader in their own way.
You get done playing, you decide you're going to go into coaching, you go from playing safety at Abilene Christian to running backs coach at the University of Sioux Falls. Two very different positions, two very different locations. Talk about that transition.
Yeah, that's actually kind of crazy. I was just, at the point, I was just trying to get into coaching. Start somewhere, right? Everybody has to start somewhere. And, you know, I was just kind of sending out my resume to a lot of schools over the years or throughout that year, that transition, right? Just sending a lot of resumes out. And Sioux Falls is able to reach back out to me. I didn't care what position it was, right? I didn't mind going to the offensive side and learning the offensive things. I knew eventually I would get back to defense, right? But it was just amazing to be able to get opportunity from John Anderson and Jim Chapin and them just helping me coach running backs and learn offense and then eventually, you know, getting back to the defense.
How do you try to learn what you need to teach young men in a position that maybe you hadn't been playing some of that? Like, how do you get behind that coaching to where you understand it and believe it so you can make them understand it and believe it?
To be honest, just studying the playbook, you know, and just being honest with them. Like, hey, maybe I didn't play this position. I may not know this, right? So I got to ask somebody else, right? I want to be transparent as possible. You want to keep it, be honest and just – be like, hey, I didn't play the position, but hey, this is what I do know. I'm gonna give you these tips, or hey, this is what the defense is doing, right? I can at least tell you, okay, this is what the defense is showing. This is what you need to do here because I play defense. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it from the opposite standpoint, you know what I mean? And so I was thankful enough to do that with the running backs at Sioux Falls. Like, hey, at least I knew, like on blitz pickup, I knew when the blitz was coming.
Yeah.
Right? At least we could pass protect. Right? Running the ball, I could just tell you, hey, this is what you're supposed to read. This is your keys. The rest is on you.
Yeah.
Right? I can't do anything else. The rest is on you. So, yeah, that was just an amazing experience.
You end up going down to Oklahoma, where you spent a few years at a couple of different stops. You were at a small school for a little while, then at Tulsa, and eventually Oklahoma State. And obviously your career just continued to evolve with the stop at Washington State and briefly at Iowa State. How would you describe the last few years of your life?
Man, I wouldn't describe it as chaotic. I would say really just thankful and blessed, right? You just never know. Like at those schools, I planned to be where my feet are. But when an opportunity presented itself, right, I just took the opportunity because I feel like it was helping me develop and grow into the direction that I wanted to go into. And so, and then obviously I was just thankful enough to be close to home in Oklahoma too as well. Being from Dallas, Texas, that also helped to where I could go see my family. And yeah, I'm just thankful for that opportunity.
You look at your coaching journey, and if people look at the titles you've had, they see defensive backs analyst, and now you're a coach. What's the difference? Coach, I would imagine, is more hands-on. What is an analyst at a position, and why make the transition into being more hands-on?
So defensive backs analyst, basically, I was just like an assistant to the actual corners coach, right? It was actually pretty good because I was pretty hands-on still as an analyst now that they changed the rule. And so I was able to watch one side while the corners coach would watch the other corner during practice, right? Or if we was doing like individual drills, right? I'm also watching the guy to where I could critique him as well, right? We just got more eyes on the players. And then when it comes to like work in the office, I was just basically helping him out whatever he needed. Whatever needed to be done, that's what I was doing, and that's really what it was. And now the reason why I transitioned to corners coach now is just being able to have my own room, where now the corners, obviously they listen to me as the assistant, but now this is my own room, right? This will, how they play will reflect how I coach. And so just being able to have that opportunity to also go recruit as well and go find the players that I want, that's the reason why I made that switch over.
Is that the main reason you ended up at South Dakota? You jump out of the FBS ranks to FCS so that you could get that opportunity to lead the room?
Correct. That's why I jumped from FBS to FCS. Also, you know, South Dakota is a great program, right? The last 3 years, we've tied for the most wins in the conference. NDSU just left the conference. The conference is wide open. It's wide open to be taken. And just being able to get the opportunity to hear from Coach Kirch and Coach Vitz when they contacted me, it was a no-brainer, right? It was a no-brainer to come to a top five SES program to where I can lead my own group. But not only that, where South Dakota Coyotes, right, we see something that's where we have a bright future, where the championship and the conference championship is there for us to get, you know what I mean? And so I'm just thinking back to when they gave me a call. I'm like, yeah, it's time, right? You never know when it's time, but it was time. And so,
how did Coach Rogers take the idea of you going to the University of South Dakota? Obviously, a former Jackrabbit himself and player and coach.
Yeah, it's crazy. He said I needed to take it. Right, it was an opportunity of a lifetime. Like you need to go start your own journey. Right, you can't depend on anyone else to elevate you. Right, you got to go start your own journey, run your own race. That's what he told me, and he just said, just keep your head down and keep working. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, and yeah, he was like, he actually told me to go take it.
In all of your stops so far, in what has been really a relatively short coaching career, about, what, 5 years, maybe 6 years at most, that you've been, what have you learned the most in that time that's really going to help you as the leader of the cornerbacks room?
I would say really just building relationships, right? Throughout your coaching journey, right, you're building relationships, right? And then just helping those kids, being able to coach those kids, it all starts with relationships. I feel like you can't coach a kid how you want to coach a kid until you build those relationships. So throughout my coaching journey, it's really just been relationship, relationship, relationships. That's how I was able to move up through the journey, and also just being able to coach the kids as hard as I can because I have a relationship built with them already. You know what I mean? So that's the main thing, relationships and just having the grit and just keep grinding. Right.
You're from the Dallas, Texas area, and you played football at a couple of places in the state of Texas. Football is king in the state of Texas, right? Everybody knows that. Even if we've never lived there, I think everybody knows that. What has football meant to you and your family?
To be honest, football has meant a lot. It's crazy, though, because I actually took a break from football, and a lot of people don't know this. I took a break from football. Starting 8th grade all the way to 10th grade, and I just played basketball. And then eventually, I don't know, something just in my head told me I needed to go back to football. I would have a better chance of doing what I wanted to do if I played football. And so obviously making that change, moving back to football, it just took over my life, to be honest, because now look where I'm at because of football.
Yeah.
Right, the things that I've gotten, right? I've met my girlfriend because of football. Got a scholarship because of football, right? And now this is my life. I'm coaching football. So football has done a lot of crazy things for me. And then obviously just being from Texas, you know, Texas is football, right? when you go to Texas and you see those football games, man, it's just a different experience, right? You can only experience that by playing it. And actually you can experience by watching it as well because of the fans that you get. Like, it could be, it don't even have to be your team, but it's going to be a lot of fans there watching those games. And so I'm just thankful for that.
Does it make you a Cowboys fan?
Yeah, I'm a Cowboys fan. Hey, I'm a diehard Cowboys fan, yeah. Actually. I just take, you know, it's been a tough road since I've been alive, but that's okay, man. The future is bright. I really do think the future is bright. I am one of those Cowboys fans that think we're winning the Super Bowl every year.
Yeah. Optimism, right? Yep. The draft coming up. You got to get optimistic about that. Yep. You look at South Dakota's cornerback room, the guys that you're working with right now as you go through spring ball. What do you see out of this group?
I actually see a pretty experienced group. We did add two newcomers in Cam Hawkins and Josh Grant. But other than that, everybody else has been here, right? And you got R.J. Stewart coming back, right, the freshman All-American. That's always good to have. And then you also got three other guys in Ty Morris, Jalen, and then D.J. Kennard coming back, which also helps, right? We got the length and the size to be able to play corner. Right, and the speed also. And so it's just a mixture of everything. The future is bright. I think these guys are going to do a great job this year. And so I'm excited about the corner group.
Characteristics a corner must have to be successful, what would you put those as?
You got to be able to accelerate your top-end speed, use your length, and then obviously having confidence and the ball skills to be able to play corner here at South Dakota.
You look at spring ball so far. What have you seen out of just the overall experience? Obviously, Coach Fitz them in his first season, first spring running the program. A couple of new guys on the coaching staff. Obviously, some new players. What are you seeing out of these first couple of weeks?
The things that stand out, I would say, is the energy, the effort, and then obviously the physicality. Those are the things that you like to see with Coach Vitz leading the program. You've seen that throughout the practices, right? We just finished practice 6, and you just seen the effort and energy and just being able to respond in those moments of adversity. You see that every day at practice. You can't get enough of it.
You got another playoff group here?
Yeah, we got another playoff group. Yep, I would say a farther playoff run than what we had in the past, whether that's past the quarterfinals or semifinals. I think we got to run for the championship.
I know people are excited, right, to see what this thing's going to look like in the fall. What has to happen between now and then, in your opinion, for this group, coaching staff, players, everybody to be ready to go and put the best thing forward?
I would say just coming together as a group and also finding the strengths of the group, of the team, and just continue to playing to our strengths, right? And then obviously the players getting in the playbook to where they know the playbook by the back of their hands, so we can feel confident in playing, because right, it all starts off with confidence. And so if you can go out there confidently on the football field, you got a great shot.
We're excited to see what happens. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Glad to have you part of the group, and excited to see where you take this group.
Thank you. Go Yotes.
That is Byron Robinson, Jr. He is the cornerbacks coach for the University of South Dakota. Hope you get a chance to chat with him and see, just get to know him a little bit. A lot of these new coaches, great for the staff. Excited to see what they bring to Coyote football as we get into the fall season. Before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what's going on in Coyote athletics. The track and field team scheduled to be in Sioux City, Iowa this weekend for the Sioux City Relays. Women's tennis is set to take on Omaha. That's scheduled in Vermilion on Friday. Always keep up with the latest when it comes to weather, because you never know when things like that change. Same with softball. Softball set to take on North Dakota State on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Single games each of the 3 days. 3 o'clock on Friday, 2 p.m. on Saturday, and noon on Sunday. Volleyball set for a spring match down in Kansas City. That is on Saturday as well. And then tennis will be at St. Thomas coming up on Sunday. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how things go with that. And then women's golf is going to compete in Omaha, Stampede at the Creek, Monday and Tuesday. And softball scheduled to play Tuesday at Iowa State as well in non-conference action. Always for all of these, when we get to this season, I like to remind, because, you know, we forget sometimes, but we're in the spring, which means I would check before you go to any of these events. I would check goyotes.com, make sure there's not been any schedule adjustments this spring. If we have a spring, which, I don't know, we've kind of been in the fall spring, second winter, second spring type of real spring type of deal. Keep an eye on goyotes.com. They'll have the latest schedule information if there are any changes. Big thanks to Marlene Mula and Byron Robinson Jr. joining me for this week's episode of the Yotecast podcast. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. As always, if you have a suggestion or somebody you want to hear from, certainly let us know. You can certainly get into the comments on the social media post, or reach out, and we will certainly evaluate. We're always looking at all the options to try to get so many people on the Yotecast podcast throughout the course of the year. That's it for me. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.